You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the 615 Sessions podcast here on the A to Z Sports live stream network. That old man that you hear gasping and wheezing in the background is my dear friend and former colleague, Titans wide receiver, Ravens wide receiver, I think like a Texan and a Jet for a hot second wide receiver.
Don't count those. We can leave those out.
D-Mates, baby, it's good to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you too as well.
Oh, see, you know, now I know you're making shit up because I know you don't mean that.
The voice didn't change. The look did. You know, you're uglier now. So
you're a hater.
I'm glad you have a serious girlfriend because I don't think if you talk to her now, she wouldn't give you the time of day, man.
See, you know how I know we got some OGs riding with us because we're live stream here. Derek says in the comment section on YouTube, "What up, deep voice guy?" You know how long ago that is? Damn near a decade ago.
Hey, man.
That I was interning for you and Darren McFarland at 102.5. Of course, you can hear Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace weekdays on 102.5, but you shouldn't be listening to them. You should be listening to me on 104.5 The Zone. It's fine. We still love each other. Do you understand how I've been with A to Z for 5 years now. This is going to be 9 years for me in Nashville, and the only reason that I have a career is because you didn't stop it sooner.
damn. I had an opportunity to stop it and I chose not to. No, man, you're doing fabulous work. You did fabulous work when you were with us at 102.5 and now you're 104.5. You're still doing fabulous work. So I get to laugh at you now and point fingers and stick my middle finger up at you now. as before, I had to kind of be careful because HR. Nah, I don't have to worry about HR.
HR! Oh, my God. Yeah, it's always good to get back together with old friends. And it's honestly shameful of me that the only reason that I've texted Derek Mason is to come on the podcast. We need to do something outside of the podcast sometime soon. Mm-hmm. But Titans draft's coming up. I'm scared that you're going to die continuing to be the greatest wide receiver in the history of Titans wide receivers because they just can't figure the position out after you. It's been nightmarish, and Hopkins has kind of kept this thing afloat since they shot themselves in the foot with the A.J. Brown deal. But what do you make of the way that this team continues year after year to have these wide receiver needs and seems like it might be on the precipice of actually putting something competent together?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate for the Titans that, you know, they haven't been able to string, you know, good picks in regards to wide receivers. Now, they had one in A.J. Brown, we all know, but for some strange reason, they chose to trade him away to Philadelphia. And you see what he has done, and I'm sure what he will continue to do in Philadelphia. So they have an opportunity with Treylon Burks. It just seems like he can't catch a break. Hopefully this season is the season he can kind of break out. But I think they're doing it now in a way that's going to be beneficial. You go out and get a veteran. Last year, you go out and get a veteran that has established himself in this league as one of the best wide receivers ever to play the game. And he still got something left in the tank. So you bring him in with the young guy. You hope that what he's doing rubs off on the young guy. And I think it did. But then Treylon started dealing with injury issues. So now you got to bring in you a bona fide younger number one wide receiver. So you go out and get Calvin Ridley. I think what they're doing now is trying to set themselves up to have sort of long production at that certain position, because whether Treylon works or not, they're going to get another young wide receiver. You couple him with the three guys that are there now. As they start to segue out, these guys are getting better. What that does is it, 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 it developed, you develop this continuation and good receiver play. So hopefully they get that going and you know, go get them another young stud, and we can kind of end this drought of not having, you know, long tenured bona fide wide receivers.
You enjoy it a little bit, just knowing that be honest with me. I know, yeah. You son of a bitch, you enjoy it.
I enjoy from the standpoint of, you know, because they got rid of me, you know, in 04. Yeah. And you didn't have to. I hadn't even reached the apex of my game yet. And you thought you could survive without having that true number one. But then you found out very quickly that, hey, sometimes, you know what? Sometimes you need that bona fide one in order for that two to excel. So, and they hadn't been able to replace them. Well, they did. No, they did. They were able to, you know, get a bona fide with AJ. And they've had other guys, that have come through here. Nick Washington was one guy, sure, that came through here. And he balled out, but he was more of a veteran. He wasn't a guy that the Titans drafted. Now, hopefully, you know, they can get the draft right in regards to the wide receiver.
How cognizant do you have to be? Because you talked about just the coldness of the way that it ended, and that's typically, mm-hmm, how these things go in the NFL. But, like, if you're trailing, you got to already have your head on a swivel, Mace, about them laying, mm-hmm, the groundwork to be able to pretty easily move on from you after this year if things don't go to plan. Because, I mean, I hate it for him. It's just, mm-hmm, his body keeps letting him down. But even when he was out there last season, there were just too many inconsistencies for my liking. And I know I'm sure that's because he's missing this much time and it's, mm-hmm, it's hard to get on solid ground. But, you know, at a certain point, people are going to stop taking those as explanations and make them into excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's you know, he's been dealing with a lot. I think how it all began was completely wrong. You get rid of one guy, then you draft another guy right after, minutes after you trade one guy, and now all of a sudden he's supposed to be this savior at that position. He's supposed to be the comp to the guy that you just got rid of. That's a lot of pressure to put on a young guy coming in. And then he comes in and he's not in great shape, as a lot of these young guys are. They're not in good shape because they're, you know, they are training for combine. They're not training for an NFL season. That's why I love what Marvin Harrison Jr. did this season. He's getting ready for an NFL season. He's not worried about the measurables. You've seen the tape, you're going to draft him. But getting back to Traylon. And then, you know, he comes in out of shape. He has to work his way through that. Then, you know, he has a concussion, then an injury. Then the next following year, he comes back in great shape. They start feeding him and you know, in practices, he's looking great. Then all of a sudden, he has this injury when they're scrimmaging Minnesota. And he just hasn't been right since then. He's had, what, I think two more concussions this, yeah, past season. So he's dealing with a lot. And I don't think the last regime helped him much. You know, I would scream, why aren't you getting him involved in the game early with a receiver like that? You got to get them involved early. And it just seems like they would never try to get him, like, intentionally get him in football. And I thought that was wrong. You know, the head coach even said, oh, we don't intentionally give people set plays up for people. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, you do. You do it every week. The NFL, that's what they're about, matchups. So, you know, they didn't get him involved in the game. And then, you know, you got to blame Traylon, because if they're not getting you involved in a pass game, what else are you doing to stay engaged? You know, are you blocking? Are you running your routes full speed? You can never get checked out, because at one moment you get checked out, that's the time they throw you the football. I.e., I remember, I think it wasn't Atlanta. It might have been when Will Levis was starting. It might have been one of those teams they're playing toward the end. And it was about a 40, 50 yard bomb. He's wide open, hits his hands, and he falls on the ground.
Yeah.
And they've held that drop against him ever since. So he has to earn his spot now. He has to take a spot. Before, the spots were given to him because he was a first round pick. Now with this new regime, new GM, it's like, you got to earn the spot. You got to take the spot. We're not making spots for you anymore.
Yeah, and I, you know, maybe that's to his benefit. You just hope he doesn't, mm-hmm, press and tries to keep, exactly, himself at the forefront, because obviously, you know, you want him to be able to stay on the field as much as humanly possible. And the injuries that he's had have just been ill-timed the way that all of this has played out. You and I really haven't talked much actual football since I abandoned your ass in Antioch at that radio station. But I wonder what you make of Will Levis, because he is so interesting to me. I think that I'm in on him, Mace, but like there's so much roller coaster ride, Josh Allen YOLO to him that I don't know that I'm ready to outright trust him just yet. I think this is going to be a fascinating year. Are you in on Levis or no?
I'm sort of with you on this, and I think that that's where a lot of people are at with Will Levis. He showed you enough to say he can play in this league, but then he also did enough to say, is he that guy that can lead you to a Super Bowl? Because ultimately, that's what this decision is right now. When they drafted him in the second round, they traded to move him up. In their minds, they felt this is the guy that can lead us to a Super Bowl, an eventual Super Bowl. So, you know, there are things I like about him, but then there are things that I hope over this offseason that he's gotten better. I think some of his mishaps or whatnot, I think, was because of the offensive line. I think he started developing bad habits because the offensive line, you know, defensive line was in his lap every other snap. And when that happens, you tend to get a little, you know, happy in the pocket. And I think he, you know, just throwing off his back foot, trying to make certain throws, things like that. You know, you're being affected by what's in front of you, and what was in front of you wasn't a good offensive line. So hopefully now that they are in the process of straightening up this offensive line, that he can, you know, those bad habits that he was, you know, that he had last year, he won't have them this year.
Do you know that I got a call on my radio show the other day about something that Stillman said about drafting Drake May out of North Carolina at 7 overall, and the way that I cackled on air just thinking of him scheming somewhere? How could I possibly bother the most amount of people? And the only thing in the world that anybody's talking about is a left damn tackle for the fifth straight offseason, which makes me want to take a drill bit to my temple. But like, that is so just unbelievable. It's evil genius what Jared did, and I couldn't help but just laugh and say, you know what, I love him even more for it. He's out of his mind, he's batshit crazy, but I love him for it.
Hey man, he does what he needs to do, but you know, even in doing all of that, it's genuine for him. And at that moment, he truly believes it. Like at that particular moment, now I'm not gonna say he's gonna believe it 2 days after that or a week after that, but at that moment, he believes it. So if a quarterback's there and if it's up to Jared, he'll draft a quarterback. Me? Nah. I'm moving back and allowing somebody else to come and get that quarterback, because I don't need that quarterback right now.
I just picture Floyd looking down on us from heaven, just laughing at him the way that he used to laugh at him for 3 hours a day. With where they're at right now, you mentioned the coaching staff and kind of the way that Traylon was used. And you know, I talking to some people in the facility last year, it sounded like Chig was not necessarily, I don't know, it didn't seem like he benefited from the coaching staff. We know that Vrabel kind of could harp on people, individual players that, you know, he felt like hard coaching might bring the best out of. We saw it with David Long. We saw it with Jayon Brown. Chig is another one of those guys. And I think, you know, waiting around for those three skill players in particular, Mace, with Phillips, with Burks, and with Chig, I want to be optimistic about them, but none of the three to date have given me a real concrete reason to trust them. And I hate to, you know, look at this draft and say, well, there's so many wide receivers, you can already start to phase these guys out, and we'll see what happens at 7, whether it's the tackle, potentially. I don't know if a situation where Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, becomes viable. I certainly wouldn't, you know, pass on Bowers just because of Chig. How do you see the way that the coaching staff and the front office are putting together this skill group? Because I really like the idea that they went into this offseason with, even if they didn't actually intend to sign Calvin Ridley, that just happened to be a situation that kind of fell into their laps.
I think they're doing a good job at how they're going about it. They set themselves up where the wide receiver position isn't a priority, like a number one priority. Prior to Calvin Ridley, it was a number one priority. So you had to decide, am I taking a wide receiver or am I taking a left tackle if they are? Well, they addressed at least portion of the wide receiver. So now if I want to draft a wide receiver, I can, but it's not a necessity at this point. What's a necessity is, you know, protecting my quarterback's blind side. So it gives you a little bit more space to do what you want to do. So I like how they've addressed the wide receiver. They brought Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back, who I think is just a Swiss Army knife. He's a utility guy, but he's a guy that
– He's a Hoosier. He's a badass is what he is.
But he shows you that he can make plays when asked upon. When he's put in situations more times than not, he's made that play for the Tennessee Titans. So, now in regards to Chig, Traylon and Phillips, they all have their own problems. Chig dropped the ball too much. He started to come on toward the latter part of the year, and it was great. You saw the Chig that you saw a portion of last season with his rookie season. That's the Chig that we thought we were going to see at the start of the season, but we didn't see it. He didn't start picking up until the latter part. Kyle Phillips, he can't stay on the field. He comes in, plays about 15 plays, and then he's hurt. He's out for 3-4 weeks. He comes in, plays another 15 plays, and then he's out again. You can't rely on him. Your best ability is what? Availability. And he's not available enough. But when he's in the game, he's shown you that he can operate well from the slot position. He's made some big catches for the Titans. He understands how to play in this league. Now, Traylon, I think he has a bit of both of not being on the field as much and then having a case of the drops at times, the lack of concentration, what I call it. So all three of these guys have their own different issues. But I think the Titans look at them as, I think with Chig and Wiley, actually, I think they look at them as we have a good nucleus of young tight ends. If we can get Chig in this new offense playing the way he did the last part of the season, then we're good. Josh Wiley is sort of the combo tight end. He can catch passes. He's shown he has good hands, but he can also block it at the end of the line of scrimmage. So then you got, Traylon. Obviously, he needs to stay on the field, but this is going to be his year to cement himself, not just as a potential guy the Titans could sign back, but as a guy that some other team can sign back. So this is a big year for him. And then Kyle Phillips, he just has to get on the field. He does. I think if he gets on the field and he's healthy, I think he upgrades this receiving core. And I know they will more than likely go out and get another guy to add to the mix. But I think with those three guys in particular that you talked about, I think those guys are set to have a bigger role in this offense, but all of it is predicated on whether they can stay healthy.
Derek Mason is hanging out here with us on the podcast, made possible by Zen Sports. Promo code ATOZTN is how you get in on all the action in the Zen Sports app. You know what's really annoying, other than you?
What's that?
Besides you annoying me, you know what's really annoying? The fact that my producer, Robert Walsh, has been hiding in the background of this podcast the entire time, fangirling over you because he's a huge Ravens fan. And I had to tell him, no, I hate this man. Wait, what do you mean? Does he play football? No, this is not the first that I know. Get your big ass down.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You're going to talk to this man like he is not two franchises' leading receiver. How many people can say that? Did you know that Derek Mason won the last game in Texas Stadium? Am I right with that?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm right with
that. Put it on the Cowboy.
Something else.
And I had a touchdown.
Dude, you had a touchdown, and it was week 16. I feel like you were playing hurt. None of that sissy stuff. None of that rest of the starter stuff. They were 10-5, Buck. They were going to the playoffs. They could have set him. And he still came out there and had a touchdown.
Ain't no sitting.
That's what I'm – It ain't Mark Clayton. It ain't the
role. All I've seen you do in my lifetime is sit. What do you mean? I didn't see you do shit but sit and eat the entire time I've known you. With your little snacks you bring into the studio. The music's playing in the Don't think I don't remember Mason.
I had to cut back, man. I had to cut back, okay? I'm trying to trying to, you know, get that summer figure, man. I got to cut back.
Well, it's so funny because when I said that we were having you on the podcast today, Bert acted like it was a big deal. I go, no, you don't understand. I used to intern for this man. I used to bring in his live reads every morning and have to act professional and put his podcasts up on SoundCloud and shit like that. The first time I remember doing that, you called Taylor Lewan a Backstreet Boy because he wore a nice suit to the CMA Awards or something like that. And I said, you know what? I think I like this guy a little bit.
No. What Taylor was doing back then, man. He was just
being a Backstreet Boy.
Exactly. He was being Taylor. But, you know, he calmed down after that. He calmed down after that, man. So, hey, listen, everybody has to start at the bottom, Buck. It was just your turn, man. You had to start at the bottom.
I've never started at the bottom, not a single day in my life, damn you, other than having to work with you for the better part of buddy, it's always good to see you. Seriously, we need to do something other than me bother you on a podcast sometimes.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Bert, do you want to, here's your chance. You can be a fangirl other than staring at him with googly eyes the entire time.
These ain't no Google eyes. These are Raven's eyes. You ever seen a
Raven's
eyes?
That's right.
Hold on.
The black and purple.
No, get it off the screen.
You see that eye? That's what it is. I got to tell you my favorite Derek Mason memory. It was, I think it was either the 2008 or 2009 season. You were playing Detroit early in the game.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco threw you a ball. You were running a slant. And this guy tried to tackle you from behind. And the other fella battered and rammed you right in the chest with his helmet. And both of them fell down underneath the superhuman strength that is Derek Mason. And he
Absolutely.
Ran 62 yards for a touchdown. And after that, I about cussed. This dude was holding his chest. I know that that hurt so bad, man. So anytime somebody gets sandwiched like that, any of my Ravens buddies will always be like, Derek Mason would have scored right there.
You damn right. You damn right. And you hate it, don't you, Buck? You hate it.
I just wish you were as cool as all these people think you are. That's what
I am even cooler. You know what? This weekend is 420. It is 420. The holiday.
The holy day.
I'm going to have me some fun. So. Hopefully y'all have fun as well.
I'll see you out in the wild with your what is this artwork in the background like you're somebody from Narco? Who are you? This man trying to pretend he's sophisticated. He's trying to be look at him coming in here with the 420 jokes. Hello, fellow kids. Oh, man. Get out of here.
Hey, don't hate, man. You like my art, don't hate.
I love your art. I love you even more than I love your art. Podcast, Derek Mason. You can your radio show is on from 11 to what? 11 to 2?
11 to 2. 102.5.
11 to 2 on 102.5. But in the meantime, you can listen to me from 10 to 1 on Thanks for hanging out, buddy. It's good to see you.
No problem. Anytime.
All right.